A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a paraclete, to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Holy Gospel of John.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We consider Pentecost to be the third great festival of the church year. First, Christmas, centering on God the Son. Easter, then, centering on God the Father raising Jesus from death on that day. And Pentecost, centering on the Holy Spirit, who came down and filled the believers on that day. So today we have the Feast of the Spirit, who is often the least understood member of the Trinity. Dorothy Sayers, the great English writer, tells of a Japanese convert struggling to grasp Christian theology. "Honorable Father, very good," he said to his missionary teacher. "Honorable Son, very good. But honorable bird, I do not understand." Sometimes I feel we do not understand the Holy Spirit, the bird, much at all, as far as the difference that the Spirit makes in our lives. I will try in this sermon to look at the understanding of the Holy Spirit as the Paraclete. The Greek parakleo is the verb form. It means to call to one side. That's a very general meaning. There are many ways to translate it, actually too many possibilities to be accurate with the meaning. The following illustration creates the best word picture that I have found to give the meaning of the Holy Spirit as paraclete. The Kare language of Equatorial Africa is difficult for the translators of the New Testament, especially when it came to the word paraclete. How could they describe the Holy Spirit? One day, the translators saw a group of porters going off into the bush carrying bundles on their heads. They noticed one didn't carry anything. They assumed he was the boss who made sure the others did their work. However, they discovered he was not the boss. Rather, he was present so that should anyone fall over with exhaustion, this man would pick up that man's load and carry it for him. This porter was known in the Kare language as the one who falls down beside us. The translators used this word for paraclete. From this perspective, we have the names for the Holy Spirit: Comforter, Helper, Encourager. These words are used interchangeably whenever parakletu is found in the Greek. Later, the noun paraclete took on a legal meaning, such as legal assistant in court. Thus, we have translations like counselor, advocate, or one who speaks for another. We might ask, how does an advocate, a good lawyer, function in the Spirit? The advocate we would all welcome is a comforting presence, yet one who is exposing the truth. This was my ideal when I practiced canon law in the area of marriage annulments. Many different cases reside in my memory, but one extreme case in particular might highlight the value of advocacy. A woman I'll call Sally lived in an abusive marriage for 15 years. Her husband became more and more abusive of her emotionally and physically over the course of their time together. She finally came to the breaking point and divorced him. She came to me struggling under the weight of her decision. She was distraught over the fact that she had broken her vow of lifelong marriage. The brokenness of her spirit called out for comfort and truth-telling. Sally needed an advocate's help in exposing the abuse for what it was, ugly and repugnant. And her own broken promise called for healing. It can be devastating to lay bare human brokenness without also offering hope and healing power. Sally needed to hear that she had great worth and that she didn't deserve this mistreatment. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, she too could pass through this agony and pain and find a new life of freedom from abuse. An advocate fans the flames of hope and kindles new life. An advocate may also do the work of initial judgment, judging the evil that is at work in our lives of those who would come to us to hear a word of comfort and truth. Another translation for Paraclete is given by the preacher Brian Stoffergen. He has written, "The image that comes to my mind for this word is coach. Coaches can call players to their side for many different reasons, to teach them, to correct them, to encourage them, etc. The purpose of such calling to the side is to help each athlete become better players at the game, both individually and as members of a team. The words coaches say to each player can vary greatly depending on what the player needs at that moment. What all these words have in common is the help given to one who is weak or in need. And extraordinary changes can happen when the Holy Spirit is at work. On the Pentecost that followed after Jesus' death and resurrection, something inexplicable occurred. Heavenly power was unleashed in a baffling manner, resembling violent wind and tongues of fire. The changes wrought in the disciples that day were extraordinary. The preacher, Wilbur Miller, has given this summary. Who wouldn't wonder what the disciples were up to? After all, less than 2 months earlier, Peter, the cowardly lion, denied ever having known Jesus. The other spineless disciples refused to stand for Jesus when he most needed them. Following these spectacles of cowardice, the mysterious indwelling of the Holy Spirit filled these once feckless deserters with newfound pluck and gusto. They ended up far bolder than they or anyone else had ever dreamed prior to Pentecost. Some onlookers even suspected they had tipped one too many Frosties that morning. Instead of cowering before an anonymous maiden in a back alley, Peter suddenly stood tall, preaching a rousing sermon in Jerusalem's public square. Following this stemwinder of rhetorical grandeur, more than 3,000 souls were baptized that very day. The other 11 disciples were just as awe-inspiring. They sounded like linguistic scholars heralding the rousing news of Christ's resurrection in the languages of the Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Phrygians, and Pamphylians. You don't give that list to a newcomer to lecturing. Imagine today, people entering our congregations from all over God's green acre and from just around the corner and having their souls roused in inconceivable ways. That's what occurs when the Spirit stirs us to proclaim the gospel freshly, thrillingly, and daringly. When our churches are inflamed with divine energy, nothing will ever be the same again. People are empowered to pursue ministry for God's groaning world in extraordinary ways. Think of the ordained and lay leaders who have inspired you. In my case, they have been out of step with the church's status quo, and yet each one has pointed me to a vigorous, exhilarating church afire with the Holy Spirit. Paul encourages us to be intrepid people, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness within our spirit. We are children of God. On Pentecost, let us pray daringly, Come, Holy Spirit, come. There's no telling what will occur when the Paraclete is called to our side. Amen.
Amen.
Your thoughts.